The Wedding in Heaven, Revelation chapter 19. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Revelation 19:1. In this chapter we read of two suppers, two armies, and two triumphs. It begins with a shout of triumph over religious foes and ends with victory over national foes. The much people are some of the glorified saints of whom we read in the preceding chapters. We should suppose at least that those who stand in triumph on the sea of glass, Revelation 15, and all who have suffered persecution at the hands of Babylon, Revelation 18:24, will be in that company. These unite in one grand anthem of triumph which begins and ends with Alleluia. This is the first time we read the word Alleluia in this book. It is the highest, the sublimest expression of praise. It will be the great note of the full triumph of the Christ and of his church immediately after the complete overthrow of apostatized ecclesiasticism and before the marriage of the Lamb. Here is a very important item. Before the wedding can take place in heaven, the harlot church must be judged, for she claims to be the bride of Christ. Her claims must be proven false by being weighed in the balances of God's invincible word and found wanting. Daniel 5:27. The unspeakable stench in the divine nostrils is the great whore who did corrupt the earth with her fornication, stated in detail in Revelation chapters 17 and 18. The religious system which pretends to purify and ennoble humanity is the one chiefly charged with corrupting it. Note that the judgment of the world is not even mentioned in this final anthem of victory. And why? Because the woman leavened the whole lump. God blames Catholicism for the corrupt and abominable conditions in church and state. See again Revelation 17, verses 2, 4, and 6. Therefore, the essence of that song of victory will be that of justifying the Lord God for destroying the great harlot. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. Revelation 19, verses 1 through 3. Marriage of the Lamb. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Revelation 19, verses 5 through 7. The four living creatures and the 24 elders appear to stand out distinct from the vast throng. When the 24 elders chant the song of victory, the four living creatures fall down and worship God and answer the song by saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Revelation 19, verse 4. Whose voice but theirs, the living creatures and 24 elders, came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. The living creatures alone are seen in the throne. Revelation 4, verse 6. The living creatures always lead the great host in worship of heaven. Compare Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11. At that time they will call upon all the rest of the redeemed in heaven to magnify the Lord. Revelation 19, verse 5. Evidently there are more who participate in the second song than in the first song, for the first was as the voice of much people, but that of the second was as the voice of many waters and mighty thunderings. Part of the heavenly saints volunteer to shout in triumph over the harlot, but the choir leaders summon all to rejoice because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Observe the different classes mentioned and that they quickly obey the behest of the four living creatures. Their song is in some respects greater than the former, verses 1 through 3. They sing and shout with a greater glory. This song is a glorious paean, meaning triumphant, joyful song, of praise because of the climax of the blessed hope is reached. Therefore they exclaim, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Jesus Christ, once the lowly man of Nazareth, will then rule supremely as God the Almighty. Then will be fulfilled that his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. I say that the second song exceeds the first song. Even today we rejoice because God gives us victory over our enemies, but we rejoice far more in hope of the glory of God to be revealed at the marriage supper of the Lamb and the universal reign of Christ. We are more occupied with the Lord and his personal glory than with the destruction of his foes. So it will be then. The marriage of the Lamb will be the crowning event, and his reign the crowning glory. To her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19, verse 8. This verse shows how the bride makes herself ready, namely by her righteous acts. Let us see this clearly. When we, as sinners, believe on Jesus, he clothes us with his own righteousness. This is expressed by the words, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. That expresses our standing, but those are not bridal robes. The bridal company weaves their marriage garments during this life and sends them ahead. They are the bride's righteous deeds laid up to her credit awaiting the wedding day. Hence, it is said here, to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, even the linen which she herself spins all her days on earth. These make up her hope chest. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19, verses 9 and 10. Observe that those called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb are not the bridal company, they are guests. Doubtless, the Old Testament saints and those standing on the sea of glass in Revelation 15 are among the guests. They are blessed by being permitted to enjoy that great wedding feast. Other saints will remain on earth and miss that glorious banquet because they do not now live for it and in hope of it. They are formal, worldly believers who are still in bondage to religious systems. The Spirit's final call to such is, come out of her, my people. Revelation 18:4. But some folk will answer that call too late for the marriage supper. Compare Matthew 25, verses 11 and 12, and be warned. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God, who uttered those words. The angel, one of the seven angels, which spoke to John before in Revelation 17:1, he is mentioned first in Revelation 1:1. The casual reader might think he was Gabriel or some other angelic personage. John thought he was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, for he fell at his feet to worship him. But the angel assured John that he was a fellow servant, a brother, a witness. See also Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9. The angel was so much like the Lord Jesus, so fully imbued with his spirit and changed from glory to glory by beholding Jesus, that the apostle John took him to be the Lord. Evidently, this angel is one of the full overcomers, seen first as the four living creatures and 24 elders. They must possess the inward traits of the bridegroom in order to be in the bridal company. In the fullest measure, their bodies will be fashioned like unto the body of his, Jesus' glory. Philippians 3:21, Revised Version. Of course, they will look like Jesus glorified. Armies of heaven descending. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Revelation 19, verse 11. We must continually bear in mind that John beheld these wonderful things in vision. Therefore, they are set before us by symbols as well as by plain statements. This may happen a year after the wedding, Deuteronomy 24, 5. Heaven opened means that it is God's time to reveal His Son as the Almighty One. The horse speaks of power, especially in warfare. White speaks of purity and righteousness. A holy war will surely be waged. This white horse is by no means the same as the one in Revelation 6, which refers to national affairs. What the nations hope to bring about by their peace and safety plans, the Lord Jesus will accomplish by His coming. And in doing so, He must overthrow their schemes. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. Revelation 19, verse 12. He clearly discerns the conduct and motives of men. He judges in righteousness because He discerns absolutely and minutely between right and wrong. The phrase, on His head were many crowns, is set over against the 10 crowns which the Antichrist will have. See Revelation 13, verse 1 and chapter 17, verse 16. They indicate the universal dominion which the saints will have as associated with Jesus Christ. The various titles of the Lord. Jesus, which means Savior, is His given name, Matthew 1, verse 21. Anointed, or Christ, is His official title. Lord Jesus Christ, or Anointed, is His full official name and title as related to the Church. God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Anointed, Acts 2:36. Hence the frequent occurrences of this threefold name in the Acts of the Apostles and in the Epistles. By the Spirit we instinctively speak to, or of, our Lord Jesus Christ. Familiarly, intimately, as Jesus, He is our elder brother. Reverently, as Lord or Lord Jesus, He is our head, master, husband. And officially, as the Christ or Anointed One, He is our example, our life. 2 Corinthians 13:3 and Galatians 2:30. Jesus is never mentioned in this book by this threefold title. In the introductory verses, He is called Jesus Christ. Several times He is called Jesus, and several times Christ. Usually it is Lord or Lord God or Lord God Almighty, because He is here seen chiefly in the capacity of judge and then as king. Observe five distinct titles by which Jesus is known in this chapter. First, the title of supreme honor and glory, the Lord our God, Revelation 19:1. Or the Lord God Omnipotent, Revelation 19:6. Jesus, the once lowly man of Judean rejection, will reign as God Almighty. Second, the Lamb, Revelation 19:7, so called because His sacrificial death for a sinful race, He earned the name just mentioned before. The twofold name given to deity in the last two chapters of this book is Lord God and the Lamb. Third, He is called Faithful and True because He demonstrated this character throughout His life on earth, and hence He has right to judge and make war. Revelation 19:11. Fourth, His name is called the Word of God. Revelation 19:13. Fifth, He hath a name written that no man knoweth save He Himself. Revelation 19:12. What is that name? We believe that Revelation 19:16 indicates what it is and where it is written. Note that the phrase, on His head, many crowns, immediately precedes this statement of an unknown name. Those many crowns speak of joint rulership with Him. The phrase, no man knoweth, cannot refer to saints, but to the world, for saints know all the titles of Jesus by the Word and Spirit of God. The nations are looking for a world ruler. They think it will be this one or that one. When the devil puts up his choice, they will accept him, not knowing that Jesus Christ is the man of destiny. Therefore, as a man descending from heaven to be the universal emperor, our Lord will bear a title which will express his relation to the nations. How logical, then, for us to read, "And he hath on his vesture," his official royal robe, "and on his thigh, the symbol of strength, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords," Revelation 19, verse 6. Paul writes of that same culminating day, announcing the revelation of our Lord Jesus anointed, which in its time shall show that he is the blessed and only potentate, the King of those being kings and Lord of those being lords. 1 Timothy 6, 14 and 15 of the Revised Version. At that time, our Lord will assume the all authority which the Father gave him nearly 2,000 years ago. This includes all the church, for they too will be crowned. Matthew 28, 18, Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Jesus judges the Gentiles. "And the armies in the heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and pure." Revelation 19, 14 of the Revised Version. Doubtless, all the redeemed in heaven at that time will compose those armies. However, note an important distinction between the linen vestments of these armies and that of the Lamb's wife. The bride's linen is the Greek word lampron, meaning brilliant, lustrous, and refers to her life deeds, but the linen of the armies is lukon, meaning white, light, and refers to our righteousness or standing by faith in Jesus. Compare Revelation 1, 14 and 6, 11. Also, the word clothed is not the same in the Greek. When referring to the bride, Revelation 19, 8, it means that there was given to her a pure, brilliant, dazzling outer garment, sparkling with her happy, holy deeds through taking Christ as her life. But when referring to the armies of heaven in which the Lamb's wife is included, the word for clothed is endued, as invested with authority and power. Christ's first appearance in those closing days will be with a garment down to the foot, an enduement to his feet, showing his official relation to Christendom as judge, Revelation 1:13. See also Luke 24:49. This phrase from Revelation 1:13, a garment down to the foot, is prophetic of this 14th verse of Revelation 19. For the church is his body and shares in his official kingly investment, even down to the smallest member. She is with him in executing Revelation 19:15. Riding upon white horses speaks of the place of power which the saints will enjoy with the Lord as he descends to punish the nations assembled at the Battle of Armageddon and to overthrow the two beasts. 2 Thessalonians 1:6-10 will be fulfilled then, which agrees with verse 15 of Revelation 19. The first six verses of Isaiah 63 are a graphic, sublime, and powerful description of those days. "Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Bozrah, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth." Isaiah 63, verses 1 through 6. So great will be the slaughter of men in that battle that John declares, as did also Ezekiel, that the fowls of heaven will be invited to eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses. Revelation 19:18. The slain of the Lord will be many. Isaiah 66:16. Jesus foretold of that hour, saying, "Wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Matthew 24:28 and Luke 17:37. The undertakers will be 7 months burying the dead after the fowls will have been filled. Ezekiel 39. The last three verses of Revelation 19 announce the overthrow of the false emperor and of the false prophet, that is, the two beasts. The greatest battle in all ages will be fought, and the greatest victory will be achieved. It will be proven forever not only that man is a failure religiously and nationally, but that man's very best, brightest, and biggest is a horrible stench in the divine nostrils. Therefore, then will be introduced the universal reign of righteousness and peace for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ shall reign. The colossal consummation. The end is at hand, the end of men, of sects and state, the end of all the world calls great. Even now the judgment thunders peal the doom. To Christians only is the wheel, the royal glory land. The end is at hand, we hear the mutterings of wrath, dread earthquakes in their raging path, and rains and floods and tempest cloud, proclaiming volumes full and fierce and loud, divinely great and grand. The end is at hand, we hear of wars in countries far, ordained of heaven, set not a bar of prayer against the will of God. His purposes are wrought on angry sod, the truth must ever stand. The end is at hand, the Antichrist may soon arise, a man of peace in blind disguise. A covenant with Jacob make, the nations win, a treaty quickly break, the gaze of all command. The end is at hand, the word is true, the heavens rule, the Antichrist the greatest fool, and prophet false, to lake of flame shall go. The happy saints, all free from blame, with Christ in white shall stand.